Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, and we are on the second line of daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Ha'Arva HaRoitev discussed a halacha with regards to Tumas Oichlin and Tumas Nevelin. The Mishnah said Ha'Arva HaRoitev, the Hakipa, the Ha'Olol, the Ha'at. Somois, the Hagidim, the Akronayim, the Klofai, Mitzstarif from the Tami Tumas Leichlin, Avoloi, Tumas Nevelis. These things are Mitzstarif for the sheer Kebeya of Tumas Leichlin, but they're not Mitzstarif for the sheer Kezayis of Tumas Nevelis. So the Mishnah discussed Ha'or, the Haroite, the Hakipa. We're now up to the fourth thing mentioned in the Mishnah as being Mitzstarif, the Shir Tumas Leichlin, not Shir Tumas Nevelis, and that is the Olo. Asks the Gemara the question, the obvious question, and that is my Olo. Rabbi Yechanan said, Martiko. The Olo is the Martiko. Rashi says, Gid Hashedra the Hatzafar. It's the sinew that's in the spine and the neck, also known as the cervical ligament. V'urachav, it's wide, Rashi says. V'lovon, it's white. V'kashim oid, it's also very hard. V'kairin oisai, and in French, it's called the yibol. But either way, the olol is a specific gid inside the animal. The olol is mitzarev for the shir tumas oichlin. It's not mitzarev for the shir tumas nevelo. Shlokish amre, Shlokish says, basash apaltas oisak. Shlokish had a whole different understanding of what the olol is. What it is that when you skin an animal, when you remove the hide, you flay it, so sometimes a little bit of meat will get caught in the knife and get caught in the ur. So that meat can technically be removed from the ur of the animal and be eaten. That meat is what's known as the olol. So essentially, what's the Mishnah saying? That the olol is in and of itself, not basar. It's only mitzareth for the sheer tumas oichlin. Meaning, ha'or v'haroitiv, these things, it sounds like for the Mishnah, not oichlin for themselves, because if they're oichlin for themselves, then the Mishnah doesn't have to tell me that they're mitzarif, and not just that, then why wouldn't it be mitzarif for the shir tumah nevelah if it's oichl? The teretz is they're not really oichlin for themselves. What they are is they're shomrim for the oichl, the way we saw it in using uktzin terminology, and a shomer is mitzarif for the shir tumas oichlin. It's not mitzarif for the shir tumas nevelah. The bottom line is olol falls into that category. We don't look at it as food technically. What is it? It's either this martika, according to Rabbi Yochanan, which is it's a specific gid inside the animal. According to Rish Lakish, it's basar, but it's basar that was removed together with the sakin. Therefore, it has a special place in halacha. We don't look at it as oichel, but at the same time, it could be mitzarif to the shir tumas oichel. How could it be a machloikis, Rav Yoichem and Rish Lakish? The word olol is actually mentioned in a pasuk. It's in Sefer Iyov, Perikud Yimbal. The pasuk says, V'ulam atem toiflei sheker, roifei elol kochem. Iyov was telling his chaver that were coming to him and they were wishing him well, and they told him, you're going to see, you're going to have a refuah shalema, everything is going to be okay. So Iyov turns to them and he tells them that you're a bunch of charlatans. You're telling me that I'm going to have a refuah. He said, no way, it's not possible. He says, you telling that I'm going to have a refuah is like saying that someone that is suffering from olol is going to have a refuah. Reifei elol kolchem. You're charlatans. It's not possible. This is terminal, what he was suffering from. And there's no way in the world that he's going to have a refuah. Says the Bishlam in the Mandama Martaga. Bishlam in the Mandama that says that what is an olol? It's Martaga. Hainu dolav ba refuah. Then we can understand why it's not ba refuah. Because someone that doesn't have a Martaga is going to die. And it would make sense then that Roifei Elo are doctors that are not telling the truth, because an olol is something that's not shayach to repair. So if somebody has a broken cervical ligament, I guess he was considered to be in trouble. But according to Mandama that says that it's not a specific gid, it's not part of the spine or the neck, but all it is the meat that was removed from the animal while it was being flayed. Is it so difficult to take that meat, reattach it to the animal? That's something that technically could be done. So why are we looking at olol as being something that's not shayach to refuah? So the Gemara says, you have to say, olol, the krot kulam aloi pligi, must be that as it relates to whenever the Torah uses the word olol. So olol in Tanakh, there's no argument. Everybody agrees that it is martika. Like Rabbi Yochanan said, ki pligi, this machloik is between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish with ba'olol de masnesen. When the Mishnah uses the word olol, and you find the word olol incidentally in other Mishnahis as well. So where the Mishnah uses the word olol, there Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish had this machloik. What exactly? Akidah Zolomi. You're right. In the Teresh of Iksav, the word Olof for sure means Martika. The question is, in the Teresh of Alpeh, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the Teresh of Alpeh, it means what it means in the Teresh of Iksav. It means this Martika, this Gid in the Shedra, in the Tzavar. According to Reish Lakish, when you find the word Olof in the Teresh of Alpeh, it means the Basar that came off the animal while it was being flayed. So, Gemara Tashma, I'll bring you a Raya, the Chura, from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ha'ol HaMechunis, if you have Olof and it's all together in one place, that if you have a kezayis oven in one place, you would be chayav. That's at the very end, the last line of the Mishnah, the Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'olol Hamechunas Im Yesh Bei Kezayis V'Machin Er Chayav Olav. Rav Huna explained, Ucha Kinsley. It's only true if the person himself brought it all together. But if it just punked, gathered together all the soul, then this halacha is not true. But the Gemara says like this: Bishlam the Mandam Abasar Shpalta Say Sakin. Bishlam according to Mandam that says that what's Olav? That's the Basar of the animal that is removed when the animal is flayed. I understand Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It's basar. So mean that it's basar, if you have a kezayis of it together, it could be, it would be mitzdarf. Because at the end of the day, even though it was removed while the animal was being flayed, so it's not your prototypical piece of meat, but it is meat at the end of the day. And it makes sense then, at least you can entertain a Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the Mandama that says, that what is Olol? It's Martigo. Who cares if you have a Kezayas of it? You have a Kezayas of nothing. It's Baal Mohu, right? If you have a lot of nothing, it's still nothing. It's not Basar. It's Batsmusay, not Basar. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Martika, it's not Basar. It's this very wide, white, hard ligament that's in the spine, cervical, neck area. It's not a piece of meat. So Vosach Rabbi Yehuda, that if I have the Kezayis of it together, Bishlam, according to Reish Lakish, it makes sense. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, how do you understand this? So the Gemara says another Chiddush, and that is Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda Leipligi. You're right. You have to say that Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish was never in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. As it relates to Rabbi Yehuda for sure understood. Rabbi Yehuda for sure understood Allah like Reish Lakish does. That it's Basar Shapolta Sayzak. Keep Pligi. What was the Machlokes? Aliba de Rabban. Rabbi Yochanan said, Marta Konami Mitzdarf. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan said, that's Pashat, that Allah, according to the Rabbanon, means what it means according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is what Reish Lakish said Olol always is, Basa Shapalta Say Sakin. But Rabbi Yochanan just said that just like the Basa Shapalta Say Sakin is mitzdarif to the Shir Tumas Eichlin, Martak is also going to be mitzdarif to the Shir Tumas Eichlin. Reish Lakish says, Dafka Basa Shapalta Say Sakin, only Basa Shapalta Say Sakin. Avo Martaka, but as it relates to Martaka, Loi mitzdarif. Reish Lakish says, just like Rabbi Yehuda's definition of Olol for sure was Basa Shapalta Say Sakin, that's what he was talking about when he said that if the Olol was together, because Ayas, it would be mitzdarif. Even for the shear itself, the Rabbanon, when they said that Olol is mitzdarif for the shear to Masoichlin, they meant that Olol as well. They meant the Basar Shapalta Sayzakin, but Reish Lakish says, as it relates to Martika, Rabbi Yehuda never said his halacha by Martika, and the Rabbanon never said their halacha by Martika either. But the Gemara says, Hai Basar Shapalta Sayzakin Echidami. When we talk about the Basar Shapalta Sayzakin, what exactly is the issue? Meaning, at the end of the day, it's Basa. Right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, what is Olol? It's Martika. It's a part of the animal that eats. It's a part of the animal that people do not eat. So I understand Martika is inherently not a piece of meat. Thus, it has a special place in halacha when you're dealing with the definition of Eichel. Specifically in our sugya, Tumas Eichel. In other sugyas, Ashas, it's discussed in other contexts. Taisus quotes the Gemara, Mizvachim, Daf Lamed, Heyem, and Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Olol in terms of being a part of the animal where you can have a machsheves pigel. Again, depending on the sugya you're learning. But an Olol is a unique part of the animal that's treated as a piece of wood. It's Eitz Baalim, of course, it's not eat. But according to Reish Lakish, it's Basar Shapolta Saisakin. Keyword Basar. It's really Basar. It's just that it was removed from the animal while you were flaying the animal. Thus, it has a special place in halacha. But the Gemara says, if you think about it, really, why should it have this special place in halacha? Really, you just have to ask one question. When this person was flaying the animal, and that little piece of meat got stuck together with the hide of the animal, what was his machshava? His machshava was to take the meat off the hide and stick it in the pot? Or was his machshava, you know what, it's part of the hide, he's going to discard it? If he had in mind that he's going to use it after Then it's a noichel. And if he didn't have a mind that he was going to keep it, but too late patle, then it's not a noichel. So what is this? It's like this quasi oichel. It's not a quasi oichel. Either it's a noichel or it's not a noichel. And really, what it depends on is what his machshava is. So the Gemara says, I didn't understand the whole Reish Lakish is Allah. So the Gemara, Rav Abin, Rami Aisha. Rav Abin, Rami Aisha both answered this question. They gave different answers, but albeit similar answers. Chadama once said, one said, it's talking about where the person was flaying the animal, and there was a lot of this olo. There was a lot of basar shepal tosei sakin. And he had in mind some of it he's going to eat, and some of it he's not going to eat. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that, being that he had in mind that he's not going to eat some of it, so you can look at all the olo as being goichel. But being that he had in mind that he's going to eat some of it, so it's for that reason you could look at it as a little bit of oichel. So, what is it? Is it oichel or is it not oichel? So, pasha, you would think the part that he had in mind he's not going to eat is not oichel. The part that he had in mind he is going to eat is oichel. But that's not what the halacha of the mission is. The halacha of the mission is that being that he had in mind he's not going to eat part of it, so it's for that reason it's not viewed as oichel by itself. But then again, being that he had in mind he will eat part of it, therefore it could be mitzdarif. The other teretz was similar. About where the person himself flayed some of it, but there was another little bit of meat that came off that was flayed by a chaya, an animal. Dog came and he tore it up. So the meat that he himself flayed, we assume, is something he was mevatel, because by flaying it, you're usually being mevatel it, and the assumption is, the status quo is, the umdin is, that he doesn't want that oichel. But the part of the basar that was removed, that was flayed, so to speak, by the animal, being that he didn't do it, he never had a machshava to be mevatel it. So again, it's the same idea. What he took off, we assume he was mevatel. What the animal took off, we assume was not batel. Thus, you have some of it that was batel, some of it that wasn't batel. Because some of it is batel, some of it he was never machshava as oichel, that's why you can view all the olal as being goichel. But as it relates to the fact that some of it was removed without him being mevatel, that could be an oichel. So what do you do if you have some yes, some not? It's not an oichel for itself, but it could be mitzdarif to share tumas oichel. I have a mefarshim. Rashi's pshat is a little dachuk in the Gemara. The mefarshim already discussed it. Either way, so we had the fourth thing mentioned in the Mishnah as being mitzdarif to the shir tumas oichel, not to the shir tumas nevela, and that is olal. And really, this half of Amud Gemara discussed just the basic raw definition of what exactly an olol is. Rabbi Yochanan said olol is martika. It's just a part of the animal. It's a sinew that's hard, that's not really roi l'achila. Reish Lakish said it's meat. It's meat. It's flesh. It's technically meat that you could put on a grill and enjoy. But it's basa shepolta seisakin. And because it was polta seisakin, it's for that reason it doesn't have a chashivus of oichel. And it's for that reason, it's not oichel for itself, but at the same time, it's mitzdarif for the shir tumas oichlin. However, it's not mitzdarif to the shir tumas nevelin. Additionally, the Gemara said that you do find the word olul in Teresh HaBikzav. You find it in Tanakh. You find it in Sefer Iyuv. Olul in Tanakh for sure means martaka. Additionally, the Gemara said that when Rabbi Yehuda in the Sefer, the Mishnah, spoke about olul, he said if you have a kezayis of olul, it's a shir. He was for sure talking about basa shapal tasaizakin. So there's an olul where Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish arguing that's the olo mentioned in Iyuv Yud Gimel. There's the olo that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish weren't arguing about. That's Rabbi Yehuda, the seif of the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak. That's for sure basa shapal tasaizakin. The olo where Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish argued was a specific olo. The olo that's mentioned in the Reisha, the Mishnah, is not being oichel, but being mitzdarif. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that means basa shapal tasaizakin and martika. According to Rish Lakish, it only means basa shapal tasaizakin. It doesn't mean martika. Not hasam in the Mishnah. Hachartoim. So where is this Mishnah? It's Tahiris Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis. So literally the second Mishnah in Mesechtes Tahiris. Hachartoim. That's the beak of an animal, tatziparnayin, the fingernails of an animal, metamin, umetamon, umetstarfen. So they have an ability to be machnes tumah, we know what that means. Moitzi tumah, we know what that means. And they can be metstarif for the shir tumah as well. It says the Gemara, chartan, the beak of an animal can be metstarif, it's ba'almu, it's not roi lachilo. Amrabba loza bechartan tachtan, it's talking about the lower beak. Tachtan nami eitz ba'almuhu, it's also an eitz. Amrabba tachtan shal elyon. No, it really means the upper beak, it's the lower part of the upper beak. Apparently it's referring to a strip of cartilage in the beak, that's roi lachilo. And that's what Chazal said, it's moitzi machnes and metstarif for the shir tumah. Tziparnayim. Tziparnayim, how could fingernails be mitzdarif? That's not oichel. Amar Rabbi Elazar, makom hamuvlam. What it means is bebasar. It's talking about the part of the nail that's embedded, it's enmeshed inside the basar. That part is considered basar, and that part is going to be mitzdarif. Katnayim, what about the horns? Why would the horns be considered oichel? Amar Papa, same thing. It's the part of the horn that's embedded inside the animal itself, so much so that when you cut it out, you remove it, the animal starts bleeding. Exhale. New sugya. Not a lighter sugya, though. Says the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that there's two chumras that Tumas Oichlin has over Tumas Nevelas. What was the first chumra? The first chumra was that there's a whole bunch of things that are mitzdarif for the Shia Tumas Oichlin, most notably Shoimrim, as opposed to Tumas Nevelas. Ha'ar, v'haroite, v'akipa, v'ha'olo, v'atzomis, v'agidin, v'akernaye, v'atlofayim. These are all parts. These are all things you'd find in your pot if you cooked a piece of meat. I mean, and you didn't clean it properly before you put it in. You don't want to find hooves in your shalom pot, but right. But these are things that are mitzdarif for the Shir Tumas Oichlin, but they're not mitzdarif to the Shir Tumas Nevelas. Ki yoytze boy. Then the Mishnah said, there's another chumrah that you have as it relates to Tumas Oichlin versus Tumas Nevelas. And I'm reading from the Mishnah. Ki yoytze boy, the Mishnah said, dan daf kuf yitzayin amit beis, ha-shoychit behema tmeya. So you have to hold up. If somebody shechts a yid, a behemoth meya, a non-kosher animal, he shechts a chazer. His intention when he shechts this non-kosher animal is not that a Jew's going to eat it. Jew's not allowed to eat non-kosher. He has in mind that an oivei kechavim, a Gentile's going to eat it. He shechted it umifarcheses. What does mifarcheses mean? The animal was still alive. So there's usually a little bit of a delay from when the shechita is concluded until when the animal actually dies. So a yid went, took a behemoth tmeya, he shechted, he did a kosher shechita. He made sure he followed all the halacha l'moishas misinai, as the Gemara is going to talk about. He even checked the sakin. He literally checked the chalif, but it was a non-kosher animal. And now the animal's mefarcheses. So the question is, this animal right now, when it's in a state of mefarcheses, is it subject to the laws of Tumah? So the Mishnah said, metame Tumas Oichlin, it's subject to the laws of Tumas Oichlin, avaloi Tumas Nevelis, but it's not subject to the laws of Tumas Nevelis. When would it be subject to the laws of Tumas Nevelis? Acha Tumas, when it dies, actually adds this as Rosh, or when it's beheaded. But the point here, this is another case where I have a piece of meat where the halacha is yes, Tumas Oichlin, no, Tumas Nevelis. Now, what's Pashup Shad in this halacha from a 20,000 foot view? Pashup Shad in this halacha is because while an animal is mifarcheses, while the animal is still alive, the halacha, it can't be subject to Tumas Nevelis because it's alive. So if it's alive, how could there be Tumas Nevelas? So the second part of the mission, Avaloi Tumas Nevelas, makes perfect sense. There's no Tumas Nevelas, even though it had Shechita, because Lemaisa is Mefracheses. And being that Lemaisa is Mefracheses, it's for that reason, there's not going to be Tumas Nevelas. At the same time, there will be Tumas Oichlin, because we could look at this animal as being an Oichel. How can you look at it as being an Oichel? The animal's still alive. It's true the animal's still alive, but it had a Shechita. And being that it had a Shechita, despite the fact that the animal was still alive, we could look at it as an Oichel. Because the definition of when food becomes Roi L'Achila, not Roi L'Achila, when it goes from being Evim and Achai to a regular shtick, Basa Shechita, is not so much if the animal's alive or dead. Is did it have a Shechita or it did not have a Shechita? That's the whole halacha of Mefarcheses. And we've already learned 120 blot in Masechta Chulin, so we're familiar with this. And that is that when a Shechita is not so much killing the animal as much as it is shechting the animal. So if you have a live animal that had Shechita, how's that possible? It's Mefarcheses. You did a Shechita, you shechted Roi with the Beis Simon. But at the same time, the animal's still alive. So the halacha is that a Yid's allowed to eat it. And even though a guy maybe shouldn't be allowed to eat it, but the Gemara says, Mia Kamidi, the Yisrael Shari, Levi Kechav Maser. See, even a guy's allowed to eat it. So the bottom line is that once you has a Shechita, even though it's still alive, you can eat it. Oh, if you can eat it, then it's an Oichel. If it's an Oichel, it's going to be subject to the laws of Tumas Oichel. So essentially, what the Mishnah is saying is that if you shecht an animal and it's Mefarcheses, you're going to now be subject to Tumas Oichel. You will not be subject to Tumas Nevelas. You're subject to Tumas Oichlin because it's Roi L'Achila. How's Roi L'Achila? It's alive because you did a Shechita. And even though it's still alive, it's Mefarcheses, but Mefarcheses is Mutter L'Achila. At the same time, it's not going to be subject to the laws of Tumas Nevelas. And the reason it's not subject to the laws of Tumas Nevelas is because, as it relates to Tumas Nevelas, it has to be dead. Lamaisa, this animal's alive. And being that this animal's alive, so it's not shaykh to Tumas Nevela. Stating that, the Mishnah didn't just say that. The Mishnah didn't say, if you shecht an animal, and it's Mefarcheses, so yeah, Tumas Oichle, no Tumas Nevela. The Mishnah gave us a very convoluted case. The Mishnah said, HaShoichit Behemot Meyaloivit Kechavim, U'Mefarcheses, and L'Chaira, at first glance, the question begs itself, why do we need this case? Why do we need a case, before we even understand what the case is? Like, what do we even need? We know for sure the case is confusing. Without seeing Rashi in the Mishnah, without learning the half a block Gemara that we're about to learn, right? That's clear. So that doesn't need an introduction that it's a confusing case. You shechted a behemoth tmeilo, evikichavim, it's mifarcheses. I mean, there's a lot going on. So what do you need that for? Just say very simple. You shechted a behemoth tahira for a year. This is a year in a heimish shlachtois, and you have mashkichim all over the place, and everything's perfect. But it's mefarcheses, and right now you want to know, is it subject to tumors or not? The answer is yeah, tumas oichlin, not tumas nevelas. Tumas oichlin, yeah, because it had a shechita. Tumas nevelas, no, because the animal's still alive. Says Rashi, the emes is that's true, and the Mishnah could have said that, but that wouldn't be fun. That wouldn't be a chiddush, says Rashi. Not a chiddush. We know that. And even though it doesn't sound like the Mishnah is trying to say chiddushim, it sounds like the Mishnah is just trying to show me cases where I have Tumas Oichlin, but I don't have Tumas Nevelas. But Enochanami, Rashi says the Mishnah wanted to tell me a bigger chiddush. Agav Orche Kamashmalan. The Mishnah wants to say a second chiddush. What's the second chiddush? That even though this animal that's Mifar Cheses, that had a kosher shechita, and you want to know right now, Tumas Oichlin, Tumas Nevelas, this halacha would be true even if it was a behemoth tmeya, as long as you shechted it for a guy. Now, at first glance, a behemoth tmeya shechita, that's a nezem zov ba'af chazir, right? It doesn't make any sense. Well, you shechted a behemoth tmeya. What does shechita mean by a behemoth tmeya? That's precisely the chiddush of the Mishnah. You know what the Mishnah is coming to say? That even though you shechted a behemoth tmeya, and really shechita of a behemoth tmeya is nit kein shechita, afal pikein, the law of mefarcheses is still going to apply. Because being that the person that shechted was a haimashiyid, the shechit was a Yisrael, and had the yid shechted a behemoth tahira, and it was mefarcheses, it would have been a kosher shechita. Thus, in the state of mefarcheses, it would have been shaykh already to Tumas Oichlin. So we say a chiddush that even though you shechted a behemoth tmeya, still that halacha is going to be true. And the reason is because even though this is not a shechita of a behemoth tmeya is nothing. But at the same time, had you done this maisa with a behemoth tahira, it would have been a shechita. That's enough to give it a chashivos of a shechita as it relates to this particular, not to be able to eat it, how could you eat it? It's a behemoth tmeya. But as it relates to this particular halacha, it's going to have the chashivos of a shechita, which particular halacha, that it's now going to be subject to the halacha of Tumas Oichlin. Stating that, the Mishnah was very, very clear, and the Mishnah said that it's only if you shechted the behemoth tmeya for a guy to eat it. But had a yid shechted the behemoth tmeya, and his kavana was that a yid's going to eat it, so then already it's going to be different. Because being that a yid is not allowed to eat it, so that whole machshava is not a valid machshava. So if you shechted it for a guy to eat, being that it was geshachten, l'shem, a real achila, because a guy is allowed to eat it, and you did a maisa that is technically a good maisa shechita, even though the context was awful. But the maisa, the act itself, had you applied it to a kosher animal, would have been a kosher shechita. So the combination of the fact that your kavana was for someone to eat it, someone that's allowed to eat it, and you did a maisa that had you done with a behemoth tahira would have been a kosher shechita. It's those two things. The fact that there's a tzad maisa shechita and a machshava for someone who's allowed to eat it, to actually eat it, that's enough to give it a tahira sachila and a tahira shechita, so that even though it's mefarcheses, the halacha is, it's still going to be okay. The Gemara on daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis of today's daf is going to bring a brisa, where the brisa is going to discuss a similar case, and that was what would be if a guy went ahead and did the shechita of a behema tahira, his kavana was that a yid should eat it, and it was mefarcheses, and the brisa is going to say the same exact halacha. It's the same halacha. The halacha is that it's going to be subject to Tumas Oichlin. It's not going to be subject to Tumas Nevelas. Why? For the same exact reason, because being that the guy shechted a behemoth tahira, even though guy himself can't shecht, but a maisa shechita on a behemoth tahira has its side shechita. It's very similar to a yid shechting a behemoth tmeya. When a yid shechts a behemoth tmeya, we said, being that there's a tzad shechita, we give it the chashivos of a shechita as it relates to the halacha Tumas Oichlin. Why? It's not a good shechita, but there's a tzad of it that is good. What tzad? The shechit's good. In the case where the guy shechts the behemoth tahira, there's also a tzad that it's good. What's the tzad that it's good there? the behemoth. The behemoth is a behemoth tahara. So again, the fact that there's a tzad shechita is enough for me to say that it's a shechita with regards to the halacha of tumas oichlin, as long as it's being done with the kavana that someone's getting it. So if a yid shechts it, even if it's a behemoth tameya, as long as his kavana was that a goy's going to eat it, if it's mefarcheses, tumas oichlin, yeah, tumas avelis. No, if a goy shechts it and his kavana is that a yid should eat it, even though goy can't do a maisa shechita, but being that the animal was a behemoth tahira when the goy shechted it, if it's mefarcheses, you're going to have tumas oichlin, you're not going to have tumas nevela. Either way, on that note, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi said, Shoinim, it was taught, Yisrael betmeya, v'oivi kichavim betahayra, Yisrael betmeya, that's the halacha of the Mishnah, oivi kichavim betahayra, that's the halacha that we just mentioned in the Brice, where the halacha in both cases are that if the animal's mefarcheses, the animal will be subject to tumas oichlin, not tumas nevelas, tzrichin machshava. The only time these halachas are going to be true is if two things. Number one, machshava. The sheikhit has to have in mind that someone's going to eat it. So in our Mishnah, being that it was a behemoth tmeya, the sheikhit, the yid, had to have in mind that a guy was going to eat it. In the Bryce's case, he has in mind even that a yid is going to eat it. Additionally, and this is the point that the Gemara is going to really shtelzachan now, and that is, it requires hechsher. In order for the meat to now become tameh, it has to first become hukshel lekabel tumah. Mesechtas machshirin. What's hukshel lekabel tumah mean? It has to become wet. You have to be okay with the fact that it's wet afterwards. If a sheret, something falls on it, that's where it would be shaykh to the laws of tumah. So meaning, even though the Mishnah says, tumas oichlin, while it's mefarcheset, but only if it's wet first. It's still subject to the laws of hechsher tumah. Now, at first glance, you're going to say, why not? All we're saying is that it's an oichel. It's subject to the laws of tumas oichlin. But why would you think that you don't have the halacha of hechsher tumah? What's hechsher tumah mean? In order for food to become tameh, it first has to become wet. So why would you think this is different? That's the Gemara. I'll tell you why. It's hechsher lamali l'chayra. Why does it have to become hechsher lekabel tumah? Soifel letame tumah chamura. Isn't this one day going to be subject to tumah chamura? V'chol she soifel letame tumah chamura loy bay hechsher. And the halacha is that anything that will one day be subject to tumah chamura doesn't need hechsher tumah. So this is a halacha l'moshe misinai. It's exeris hakasa really. The Gemara learns it from Sukkim, and that is as follows. When is there a halacha that food needs to be hukshel lekabel tumah in order for it to become tameh? It's when you're talking about tumas oichel. This is tumah v'tayra 101, and that is that in order for food to get tumas oichel, it first has to be hukshel lekabel tumah. So how would food become tameh tumas oichel? Sheretz falls on it. The shmeina shratzim, their nevela has an ability to transmit tumah. So if you have an apple, and now one of the shmeina shratzim falls on this apple, you have a piece of meat, and one of the shmeina shratzim falls on this piece of meat, the food will now become tameh. Rishon, sheni, shlishi, revi, was a truma, was a kachim, etc. But the point is that the sheretz, the nevela of a sheretz, has an ability to transmit tumah. Stating that's only if the food first prepared itself, went to the mikveh first. It has to be hukshel lekabel. You can't just become tameh. You have to prepare yourself. You have to be hukshel lekabel. How do you prepare yourself to become tameh? You become a bissel nas. That's how you become hukshel lekabel. What's the lamdas? The lamdas of mesechtas machshirin is because something doesn't become tameh until it's completed. So just like a keli that's incomplete, a craftsman's working on a keli and he's 80% done, he's 90% done, it can't become tameh. It has to be 100% complete in order to become tameh. Food doesn't become tummy until it's completed. Until food is washed, it's not considered completed. And it's for that reason the halacha is that there's no tumas oichlin until it first becomes wet. But this halacha is only true for tumas oichlin. What about tumas nevela, for example? That's also food. It's also tameh, but a whole different type of tumas. Not tumas oichlin, it's tumas nevela. We know that tumas oichlin, tumas nevela, right? After five blots of berak over right, they're not the same thing. So tumas oichlin is what requires hechsher lekabel tumah, needs to first become wet. Tumas nevela not. Tain is the Gemara. There's a gzeres hakasev, as we'll see now, two brises. There's a gzeres hakasev that says that any oichel that is on its way, it's destined to have a tumah chamura, such as tumas nevela. The halacha is, it could become tameh tumas oichlin without first becoming hukshel lekabel tumah. Why? I mean, svara doesn't seem so logical, but it's exeris hakasav. That's the way it is. So if you have a piece of food that one day will become a nevela, so the halacha is, being that it's going to one day have the tumah chamura, and the tumah chamura is not bound by the laws of mesechtas machshirin. See, even though right now we're not discussing the tumah chamura, we're discussing the tumah kala of tumas oichlin. But right now it's not going to be bound by mesechtas machshirin either. This animal that's mefarcheses, that the Mishnah and the Braisa said, are subject to the laws of tumas oichlin, will one day have tumah chamura. When? When the animal dies.
it's going to be a nevela. When the animal dies, it's going to be a nevela. It's not like, oh, it wasn't a kasha shchita. So at the end of the day, you can tell me tumas oichlam mefarches says all the lumdus in the world right now. But once the animal's dead, it's going to be subject to tumas nevela. If that's the case, it will have tumah chamura. If it has, we'll have tumah chamura. How could Rav Asi have said that the only time in our Mishnah this animal that was geshachten by a yid, it was a non-kosher animal, it was mefarcheses, it's subject to tumas oichlin. But one second, only if it's for his hukshel lekabel tumah. Why does it have to be hukshel lekabel tumah? This is a textbook example of tumas oichlin that will very soon, within a matter of moments, be subject to tumas nevela. At that point, I'll have the tumah chamura. It won't be bound by mesachtes machshirim anymore. So right now, it should neither be bound by mesachtes machshirim. So again, in a veinik, fake the gemara, hechshel amali, seifel letama tumas chamura, vechol sheseifel letama tumah chamura, lo bayi hechshel. How do you know that Tani Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel taught vechiyut amai mazera mazroim, just like zroim, things that grow on the ground, sheitz seifel letama tumah chamura, they'll never be subject to tumah chamura. Right, an animal could be subject one day to tumah chamura, but Zeroyim, they'll never be subject to Tumah Chamura. It's only then Tzrichin Hechsher. Af kol, she'ain't slave for the Tumah Chamura, Tzarech Hechsher. So to anything that will never be subject to Tumah Chamura is what requires Hechsher. But anything that will be subject to Tumah Chamura doesn't require Hechsher. Tanya, another price. Omrav Yoiz, hey, ma'om nivas oif tar Tzrichin Machshav, vein Tzrichin Hechsher. Why is it that the nevel of an oif tar needs Machshav? So we don't have to focus on that. We need to focus on the second halacha. Vein Tzrichin Hechsher doesn't require Hechsher Tumah. Nipnei she'soifel the Tumah Tumah Chamura. When's the nevel of an oif tar going to be subject to Tumah Chamura? So the nevela of an oif tar is unique. It's not metama. Nevela is usually metama b'mago b'masa. But the nevela of an oif tahar is not metama b'maga. It's metama b'godim abeis ablia. So if you swallow it while it's in your beis ablia, any clothing that you're wearing becomes tahar. It's a special halacha. That's what's unique about the nevela of an oif tahar. So it comes out that the nevela of an oif tahar, if it's sitting on the ground, it's shaykh to tumas oichlin, because it's an oichel. But at the same time, it doesn't have tumas nevela. When you swallow it, then it'll have already tumas nevela. So the halacha is, the nevela of an oif tar, while it's on the ground, becomes tomei tumas oichlin without first hechsher. How is that possible? Because it's soifa letama tumah chamura. When's the soifa? When you eat it. When it's in your beis ablia, then it's going to have a special tumas nevela. Then it'll have a koich mi metama begodim a beis ablia. That tumah is a tumah chamura. And therefore, even when it's not in your beis ablia, it's not subject to the halachas of machshirim. So again, what's the kasha? You see from two braises that there's a concept in mesechtes machshirim, a very important exception to the rule of the laws of hechsher tumah. And that is anything that soifa letama tumah chamura. Our Mishnah and the Braisa are classic examples of something that's over the time of Tumah Chamura. So how could Rav Asi say Yisrael b'tmeya? But if you chavim b'tohera tzricha machshava. And the name matters in this Gemara. So Chizkiyah said, I'm going to answer the question. He said, you're assuming for sure that this animal, while it's mefarcheses, will one day have tumah chamura. What do you mean? It's going to die. And when it dies, it's going to be a nevela. And a nevela is a tumah chamura. How do you know? The only time a nevela is tameh is if you have a kezayis b'makom echad. What if an animal comes and rips this nevela into 1,000 pieces? And you're not going to have a kezayis. If you're not going to have a kezayis b'makom echad, so then you're not going to have tumas nevela. So be that it's possible that you're not going to have tumas nevela. So therefore, it's lav dafka soifu latama tumah chamura. It's not dafka soifu latama tumah chamura. It's for that reason that you need Hechsher. Amalei Rabbi Yirmi l'Rav Zeira. Rabbi Yirmi told Rav Zeira. So the later Amoraim were discussing what Chizkiyah said. And they said, "Umi Amar Chizkiyah Hachi, is it possible that Chizkiyah said this? Can't be. Why not? For Itman we learned, Shachat Bosh Shnayim Rav Shnayim. If somebody shecht either both of the simanim of an animal, the Kana and the Veshet, respectively, or the majority of both, meaning he did a kosher shchita. V'adai mifarcheses, and the animal is mifarcheses. Now we're dealing here with a non-kosher animal. Not dealing with a kosher animal. So somebody shechted a non-kosher animal, but he did the equivalent thereof of a kosher shechita. Chizkiyah says, "Ein alei varin." It's not subject to the laws of Eva Menachai. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Yes, ein alei varin." It is going to be subject to the laws of Eva Menachai. So the animal's still alive. But it's still alive. It's a head of shechita, but it's still alive. And the question is, do you have Eva Menachai? Do you not have Eva Menachai? Chizkiyah said, there's no Eva Menachai. Why not Mesi? Because the animal's dead. But Rabbi Yochanan said, yes, Nelevarim, that there is a halach of Eva Menachai. Lav Mesi, because being that it's mefarcheses. So what's the kasha? The kasha is, you see that Chizkiyah holds that the halach is that while it's in a state of mefarcheses, there's no Eva Menachai. If there's no Eva Menachai, that means he looks at it as an avela. If he looks at it as an avela,
then what do you mean it's not soifal the tamei tumah chamura? It's tumah chamura right now. Now you're going to tell me.
So you're going to tell me, but what do you mean? I mean, the Mishnah already said that while it's mefarcheses, it's subject to tumas oichlin and it's not subject to tumas nevela.
Right? Didn't the Mishnah already say that? We know that. But the Gemara's kash is, how could Chizkiya say that? The
Mishnah could say it.
That's fine. The Gemara's asking, me amar Chizkiya hachi. Did Chizkiya say it? How could Chizkiya say that while the animals, how could Chizkiya subscribe to the halacha of the Mishnah? Because the halacha of the Mishnah essentially is saying that while the animal is mifarcheses, there's no tumas nevela yet. And Chizkiya therefore took it even a step further. Could be you'll never have tumas nevela. Because maybe you'll never have it. That's fine. That's very nice. That works very nicely with the Mishnah. The problem is Chizkiya l'shitasi should be able to say that. Because Chizkiya said that there's no eva menachai while the animal is mifarcheses. So if there's no eva menachai, doesn't that by definition mean that we look at the animals in the nevela? The Gemara says no. Amalei yotza michal chaya ulechal meso. Chizkiya holds that while the animal's mefarcheses, it's somewhere in between. It's neither here nor there. It's benashmashes, right? It's not chayo, it's not alive. And that's why Chizkiya holds there's no iser eva menachai. But at the same time, it's not dead. He doesn't look at it as a nevela. And he doesn't look at it as a nevela. In fact, he says it could be, it never will be a tumas nevela. So therefore, Chizkiya was able to say this in between halach. Either way, so the Gemara just mentioned, almost derech agav, a very important machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiya. And the Gemara is now going to drill down on this machloikis in great detail. Gufa, shachad, oshnaim, erev, shnayim. Vaidayin, imifarcheses. Somebody shechted a non-kosher animal, he did a kosher, a shchita, and the animal is mifarcheses now. So in the Mishnah, we saw a tremendous chiddush that even though it wasn't a kosher shchita, but while it's mefarcheses, we look at it as if it was a shchita. Well, it wasn't a kosher shchita, it's a behemet meya. Doesn't matter. But being that it's a meisa shchita, and you had a mind that a benayach, someone's allowed to eat this, should eat it. So it's enough of a shchita that the loch is, it's going to be subject to mas oichlin. So now the question is, what about eva menachai? Do you look at it as a shchita to the degree that there's no eva menachai? And we spoke out in the introduction to the second part of the daf that when an animal's mefarcheses, there's no eva menachai anymore. Why? Because eva menachai is not defined on whether the animal's alive or dead. It's defined on whether there was a shchita or there was no shchita. And even though that's only true for a yid, not for a guy, but the Gemara says, there's no such thing as a yid is more chamer than a guy. And that's why if for a yid, if you pull a limb of an animal while it's mefarcheses, there's no eva menachai. For a guy, there's going to be no eva menachai either. We don't need a machloikas Rabbi Yechon and Chizkiya for that. Everybody knows that. That's Chulin 101. This discussion over here is where you shechted a behemoth tmeya, and you had a mind that a guy should eat it. So you see, it's considered a shchita a little bit. For sure, not a regular shchita, because it's a non-kosher animal. No one said it's a regular shchita. When the animal dies, it's going to be an avela. It's for sure not a kosher shchita. But while it's in the state of mefarcheses, somehow Chazal will megalatas this chiddush nifla, and that is that it's subject to tumas eichlin, which means that on some level, even though it's not really a shchita, we've deemed it a shchita. So the question is, do we look at it as a shchita also that there should be no eva menachai or not? That's this machloikis. Chizkiya said, ein ole evarim. There is no whistle eva menachai. Rabbi Yechon said, yesh ole evarim. There isn't this eva menachai. I'm Rabbi Lazar said, nekoy lohad Rabbi Yechon b'yotcha. Listen very carefully to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan is supported by a brisa, and this brisa is going to take us almost till the bottom of the Yomus. It's just a very long brisa. The Tani Rabbi Ishiya, what was this brisa? He saw behemet meya levikachavim. A yid shechted behemet meya, and he shechted it for a non-Jew. Shachav shnayim erev shnayim. He did a real shchita. Mifarcheses, and it's mifarcheses. This is the case of the Mishnah. Mitame tumas oichlin, avloi tumas avilas. This is literally the Mishnah. Now the next part's not the Mishnah. Eva apoyrish mimeno. What happens if an eva was removed from this behemoth tmeya that was in a state of mifarcheses while the animal's still alive? Kapirish menachai, it's eva menachai. Ubasar apirish bimena, kabasar apirish menachai. If a piece of meat is removed, we look at it as basa menachai, right? It's eva menachai and it's basa menachai. So you'll have eva menachai and basa menachai. Va'asa leben noach, it's going to be asr to a ben noach. It's pashut that it's asr to a yid, it's a non kosher animal. The chiddush is that it's even asr to a ben noach because of eva menachai, because of it's the fact that it's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And you can't tell me mi'ikamidi, because this is also to a yid. Because at the end of the day, it's a non-kosher animal. Even after the animal dies, it's still going to be also to a ben noach. What if you didn't do a kosher shchita? What if you shechted this behema, temeya, but you only shechted one of the simanim, or roiv the one of the simanim? That's not a shchita. That wouldn't be a shchita, even if it was a behema taira. So it's pashit that it's not going to be tamei tumas oichlin. Nachara, what if you just killed it? That's obvious. At this point, while it's mefarcheses, there's not going to be any tumah. Meaning, it won't be tumas avelos because it's still alive, and there won't be tumas eichlin because, again, it wasn't a shchita. You did nichor. Nichor means when you just puncture the simanim without doing a proper shchita. What about another case? So that's the first case. The first case is where
Yid shechted a behemah tmeya for an oivet kechavim, and the Mishnah says a whole bunch of halachas. The first halacha is that it's subject to tumas oichle, not tumas nevelos, while it's in a state of mefarcheses. We know that that's the Mishnah. The second case, which is incidentally what we need, so let's interrupt for one moment. What's the second case? The second case is that you have basa menachai, you have eva menachai. Why? Because it's still alive. Whose sheet is that? That's Rabbi Yechanan. That was the machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and Chizkiyah. In our Mishnah's case, that convoluted case, Eivim Menachai, no Eivim Menachai. Chizkiyah said, Eino Leivar. Rabbi Yechanan said, Yesh Leivar. Before Shabraisa. It's clear. It's very, very clear. Shvarts and Weiss. It's very clear in the Braisa. Eivra Aparish Mimena, Kaparish Menachai. Ubasa Aparish Mimena, Kabasa Aparish Menachai. Which is what Rabbi Lazar meant. Rabbi Lazar was Rabbi Yechanan's Talmud. When he said, Nekoit Lahad Rabbi Yechanan Meyotcha. Listen to the Rebbe Rabbi Yechanan. The Tani Rabbi Shia Kavase. This is the part of the Braisa that we need. But either way, so that's the first part of the Braisa. Second part of the Braisa was not mefurish yet, but we mentioned it in the introduction to the second part of the daf, and Rav Asi, who began the second part of the daf, inferred this part of the braisa, and that is Ovi Kechavim Sheshachat Deim Etoyer LeYisrael. What if a guy would shecht a behema tahira for a yid? So not a yid shechting a behema tahira, right? That was the other case. A guy shechted a behema tahira. Same halacha. Omifar cheses metame tumas oichlin avaloi tumas nevelo. Evra perish mimena, kaperish menachai. Ubasra perish mimena, kaperish menachai. For osalu benoyach, vafil achashatetse nafsha. Shacha ba echad a rave echad. What if you only shechted one of the simonim? Eni matama tumas oichlin. Nochara. What if you punctured, you didn't do any shchita? Ein ba tumas alkom. So again, this is the same exact halacha. This is just the inverse. The first case is where you a yid shechted a behemet meya. So even though it's not a good shchita, because it was a behemet meya, but there's a tzad shchita. What gives it a tzad shchita? A yid shechted it. This is a case where a guy shechted a behemet Torah. This too has a tzad shchita. What was the tzad shchita? It was a behemet Torah for a yid who needs a shchita. So in both cases, it's tzad shchita. Therefore, you have the chiddush while it's mefarcheses. You have Tumas Eichlin and you have Rabbi Yechanan's halacha that it's subject to Eivah Menachai, but only if you did Roiva Beisimonim. If you would check one simon, or if you would do Nicho, that's Pasha, it wouldn't work. That's the first two cases of the Braisa. But it's a long Braisa. The Braisa continues. Shachad, Ebi Kechavim, Mabakum Shein, it's a Treifa. What if a guy went ahead and shechted, but he didn't make it a Treifa? What would be an example of that? He shechted half of the Kana. So if you remember, when it comes to the gargeres, it's psukas ha-gargeres, makes the animal a treifa. You have to shech the majority of the trachea, of the kana, in order for the animal to be a treifa. If only half of the kana is severed, it doesn't make it a treifa. That's in contrast to the veshet, the esophagus, the other one of the simanim, where nekuvas ha-veshet, even a nekiv of a kosher, like Rashi says in the beginning of Perek Elu Treifas, would be enough to make it a treifa. So what if the guy shechted the kana in a way where it wasn't a treifa yet? So for example, he shechted half the kana, not the majority of it, only half. So he did a little bit of shechita, he helped you out, it's nice. But at the same time, he didn't make it into a treifa. But Yisrael v'gamra, and then he had finished the job. Sheir, it's going to be kosher. Shach Yisrael, why is it kosher? Because he had finished it. And you know, you go bust of the gemar. What if a yid shechted it? Beim b'makom she'ein oisa treifa, beim b'makom she'ein oisa treifa, ubay v'kachavim v'gam shechitasai, and a guy and finished it. Psula, the halacha is, it's going to be possible. Fourth halacha, the price. If somebody wants to eat from an animal before the animal dies, so you want to eat Eva Menachai, so to speak, right? This is like Yalta and Rav Nachman, right? You wanted to taste bas of a chalav, eat the kral. So somebody wants to eat a shtickle Eva Menachai. You want to eat from the meat of an animal while the animal's still alive. There's a way to do it. You shech the animal, and while the animal's mefarches says, choytech kezayis basa mibei shchita. So you remove a kezayis basa from the area of the shchita. Now the truth is you can remove it from anywhere. But if you remove it from another part, you're going to have to first skin it and then remove it. So if you want, just want to, you have to move fast, because if you want to chop it while the animal's still alive. So just for practical purposes, remove it from the beis hashchita. Umolcha yafa yafa madicha yafa yafa. You also have to wash it and salt it, kasher it better than ordinarily, because being that you removed it while the animal was alive, there's more dam. The dam is a little bit more present, and that's why you have to do a better hadacha and a better malicha. You have to wait until the animal dies. Why do you have to wait until the animal dies? So that's based on a Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin Daf Samach Kimmel that we've spoken about. Rashi quotes it right here. In addition to the Isra Eva Menachai, there's a halacha that's learned out from Loisoichlu Al Adam, which Rashi says is only in Issa Rabbana. The Rambam Shita is in Issa De Raisa, not for today. But either way, Vaichloi, and then you're allowed to eat it. That's the point. Echad Eivik Kechav, and Echad Yisrael Mutar Meset. Gemara Mesayel, the Rabbi Bar Abin, Amr Rabbi Bar Abin, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ashin, Roitz Shiavri. If somebody wants to be healthy, so this is actually good meat. Choytech Kezayis Basar, it's therapeutic. Kotech Kezayis Basar, Mibesh Chitasoi, Umolcha Yafa Yafa, salt it good. Madicha yafa yafa, wash it good. Umamtun la chatei nafsha, wait until it dies. Echad evi kechavim, echad yisrael mutarim by. Either way, why did we bring this very long brisa? We brought this very long brisa as a tanya de mesayele, as a raya to what Rabbi Yochanan said. We had a machlokes chizkin Rabbi Yochanan in our Mishnah where you didn't do a shechita. You shechted a behemoth tmeya for a guy. That's not a shechita. Worse, the animal's still alive. This is like for sure not a shechita. It's mefacheses, but this is for sure not a shechita. Stating that the Chachamim said a chiddush, and they said on some level we're going to look at it as a shechita, as it relates to Tuma. Tuma is a special parsha in the Torah, a lot of chidushim in Tuma, and there's hakasuv, zalocha l'moishes misinai. And the point is, as it relates to Tuma, that animal will be subject to Tumas Eichlin. Why? Because had you shechted a behemoth Torah, that would have been the halach. Even though it's a behemoth tmei, you're going to have the same halach. The same is true, the Brisa said, this long Brisa, if a guy would shecht a behemoth Torah for a yid, and it's mefarchet, it would also be subject to Tumas Leichel. That too is not a shechita. Why? Because a guy's not allowed to shecht. Those were the geshmak sugis in the beginning of the Masechta. A guy's not allowed to shecht. A mumul chal Shabbos is not allowed to shecht. The farhesia is not allowed to shecht, right? So of course, second time, very good. So of course, a guy's not allowed to shecht. So if a guy's not allowed to shecht, it's sure not a shechita. The teretz is the tzad shechita. Doesn't mean there's a tzad shechita because it was a behemoth tahira, and had a yid done it, it would have been a shechita. So you see, on some level, so the question that Chum discussed was, what about as it relates to Eva Menachai? Do you say that being that there's a tzad shechita, we look at it as a kosher animal that had a kosher shechita mifar cheses? So we're gonna say that there's going to be no halacha of Eva Menachai either, or maybe there will be halacha of Eva Menachai. It was machlokes this Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. Chizki said there will be an issur Eva Menachai. There won't be an issur Eva Menachai. Rabbi Yochanan said yes, no, there will be an issur Eva Menachai. And the Gemara wrote a long brisa where the brisa says mefurish that there will be Eva Menachai, and we will stop here.